Everybody, and welcome back to Pest Control, an actual play podcast from Althaven. I'm your keeper, Sam, and I use he, him pronouns. Today, we are returning to our bonus episode of Monster of the Week by Michael Sands and Evil Hat Productions. This bonus episode is set in the town of Norfolk. That is the town that will eventually become Norfolk in the 1850s, when the town was just a burgeoning little mining community with nothing else going on, I promise.
So normal.
We have a couple of tenets that we're going to be trying to examine this season, in addition to the regular recommendations for Monster of the Week itself. The first of which is show the community, show where it is coming together and where it is fraying. The other is show the world of the myriads. Obviously, they have not revealed themselves to the world at this point, but we are still attempting to show that there are monsters in this world. I'm going to go ahead and let my players introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Bruder. I use she, her pronouns, and I will be playing Laura Ellison, also she, her, and she is the spooky playbook. I, as I said before, get the full use out of my degree called entertainment design. It's a, I just make stuff. And I have a good time doing it. You can find me on Twitter at KKAMABR or Bruder Caitlin and most other places. I do a podcast called Thin Places Radio. I am the producer and editor for that. It is great. I love it so very much. 10-minute or less kind of a haunted radio show where we have calls and talk about problems and scary things and also love and humanity. So it's great. I love it. It's on all podcast platforms pretty much. I highly recommend you check it out. And then on Mondays, I am on Althaven Twitch and YouTube live with the Stream Punks, currently playing Beacon, which is an alien RPG actual play. It's terrifying. I'm surprised none of us have died yet. It's great. You should check it out. I love it.
Hi, I'm Devin. I use they and he pronouns, and I'm playing Guthrie Lemon, the Flake, who uses he, him pronouns. I am a freelance composer. I play guitar in a band called Gloomy June. I am a tabletop game designer, and I have an actual play podcast called Oathsworn, where we play Band of Blades, in which I am a player and I am the composer. And you can find me at Devin Decibel on Twitter.
Hello, I am Birdie. I use she or they pronouns. You can find my cosplay around the internet as Elephant Bird Cosplay. That is EL3 Fent Bird. I also am the host of an upcoming actual play that I can't really tell you much about, but I promise it's cool. So watch the space at Story Players Pod at Twitter and Tumblr.
All right. So where we last left off, Guthrie was offering, threatening to turn the walls of the cave into flesh.
I have a secondary pitch, if you'll allow this to attempt.
I was just going to set it on fire.
Is this to help Guthrie perform this?
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Tell me the pitch first.
She's still holding onto his ankle. She's still holding hands with his something,
inner demon,
his whatever else is in there. I think whatever weird flicker they saw back and forth between the two of them in that weird moment, I think that's what made Laura realize that it's not intuition. Like, there is something that she has been doing, and I think she wants to try to do it on purpose for the first time ever in her life. I basically want to jinx to give a plus one forward, but like, she's gonna, I think she wants to do it on purpose. She hasn't let go of his leg yet. She's still holding him. She's still fingertip to fingertip with this entity to, and wants to do what she can. She's bleeding pretty out pretty bad, but she's been holding on to you for her own support and for yours. And she's now has this flicker of a vision. And if this can help, if this can make this thing stop hurting people, we'll have time to figure something else out in the future when we're not all bleeding out. So she wants to, for the first time on purpose, try to use her weird abilities.
Yeah, I think roll for that. Then let's have that weird roll. And then Annie, you are going to get the chance to act.
Yeah. And off, you know, out of character, you can interfere if you want.
I don't think I know what's happening, or I probably would.
Four plus,
what'd you roll?
4 plus 3 plus 2 is 9. So I get my 1 forward. I am going to give you +1 forward to your next roll.
All right. Let's see this roll to turn the walls of the cave to flesh. God.
We set it up at the beginning. It's the perfect bookend.
just like Christ would done. Here we go. That's an 11.
Okay.
That's a 5 plus 3 plus 3.
Shit.
Okay. What does this look like as you do this?
So Laura's grabbing my foot. Am I within arm's reach of the like wall of the cavern?
If you'd like to be, yes.
Okay. I like put my hand on the like the cave wall, and I think I like focus. My eyes go all black, like blacker than the darkness of the cave. And I think the veins that were kind of popping on my eyes are content warning for eye stuff. the veins that were kind of popping on my eyes spread out beyond the like socket of the eye, like into the forehead, into around the eye, under the eyes. And I'm like using as much of my power as I can here. And like, this is kind of gross, but like, I'm imagining like the, almost like my hand fusing with the wall a little bit.
Yeah.
As like the wall becomes, I mean, I think I'm able to pull my hand away from it. I don't think I fuse with the wall, but there's this like synergy of materials as the two materials connect.
Here's a weird pitch for you. If Laura becomes like a conduit, like she has been holding this injury with one hand, she puts her other hand, now she has her other hand holding you, puts this bloody hand to the floor basically where she's kneeling and gives like a connection basically to like a secondary conduit. It's a big transformation. It's a cavern. It's a whole cave. He helps you out, maybe, or is like a conduit for the magic to spread point.
I feel like this is almost big magic though, and I feel like I already
Stop saying the word big.
I think this works. I just think it is happening. It's not happening all at once. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't a snap your fingers and the cavern is made of flesh. This is the flesh is. Growing outward from your palm, where your palm print is on the wall, Guthrie, and slowly transmuting all of that stone. And I think you can, you know, I think we see veins within it. Like, I think, you know, it's like looking at somebody's wrist, if their wrist meat were stretched around the hole of a cavern. It's not good.
I imagine Amy walking upsetting. In on this as the cave turns to flesh.
Sam, what if I don't want to imagine that?
Then you don't have to. Full license not to imagine anything.
The walls turn into cartoon steak for anybody who doesn't like this.
Yeah.
No, I love this kind of shit.
However, as this magic is taking place, Annie, you get the chance to act here. And from, you know, from outside, you can hear Gustav picking his way through the rocks into the cavern.
I told him to hide.
This motherfucker.
You did tell him to do that.
Motherfucker.
He's gonna get people hurt.
So I also want to make things worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Do it. Make it worse.
So here's what's happened from my point of view.
Yeah.
Weird, you are both doing weird magic. The cave is turning into flesh. The cave, we're kind of trapped here, and the big monster is here, and it hurt Laura.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get out of here. We need to stop fucking around with whatever magic bullshit you guys are on. And I want that thing dead, and I want you two to have a sense of urgency about it. So remind me, we have an oil lamp in here.
Mm-hmm. You do have an oil lamp. Guthrie is holding it.
I would like to snatch it out of Guthrie's hands and throw it at the monster.
Hell,
because wood burns.
Hell yeah. Okay. Well, I guess I should ask this first. Guthrie, do you think that you noticed this in time to resist it?
No, I'm doing meat magic over here.
Excellent. Okay.
He's doing hot girl shit.
I'm doing hot girl shit. Meat magic.
I have a question. So the last hunch that I did was to put me in a place to prevent something bad that's about to happen.
Yeah.
Would this action make this situation worse? And am I in a position to stop it? Because that's the wording of it we got here. That was our, I have not stopped anything yet. That was, that got me here. So is there anything about this that I can help save my friends' lives about the way that this will play out, about what's about to happen?
I like how this episode started with us being like a weird little family and is ending with PvP.
It's not PvP. I want to save. I want to save my cousin's life here.
I'm trying to save all of.
Trying to save my cousin's life here. If she throws a thing at this thing, it pierced me once. She has more damage than I do. If it snatches out in an instant, it's gonna knock her head clean off her shoulders. That I'm trying to protect.
I got moves.
Her.
Don't you worry. I got moves. I got plans. I got a luck point.
Here's what I'll say. There's two bad things that are about to happen. Mm-hmm. One of them is the throwing of the lamp, mm-hmm. oil lamp. One of them is the fact that Gustav is about to be here also. You can absolutely roll to stop one of those.
Okay, so the question here is, both of these actions are going to lead to something bad.
Correct.
For us, right?
Correct.
Okay, that's all I needed to know. So this puts, so the wording is, on a 10 plus, you knew where you needed to go just in time to get there. So when something bad is about to happen, versus the 7 to 9 is you time to intervene, but not prevent. So the goal here is to prevent the bad thing from happening. So you came in and kind of tumbled over by us. I think there's that, like, she just used her powers for the first time ever. And so now I think there's like a light, like unlocked. Something weird, like a drawer has been unlocked in her mind. And she feels you make the decision to reach for it. And I think she turns to you, lifts her hand from the floor, turns to you, and like, I don't even think you've made a move yet. And just like very gently, like holds your hand. And then points with her finger in your hand towards where Gustav is coming in and says, he's gonna get us killed.
So I want to honor the fact that Annie mentioned throwing this thing. Let's resolve it like this. Laura, Annie's hand is on the lantern. I would like you to roll manipulate someone.
Okay.
There are rules in Monster of the Week for manipulating a fellow player. It does not force you, Bird, to make a decision. Instead, you'll get a point of experience either by going along with what Laura asks or spurning it, depending on what Laura rolls here.
Hey, no matter what happens, this is going to rule.
All right, guys, remember my manipulate someone is minus one.
Is it now?
Okay, come on, Laura. Yeah, that's a 5, a 1, and a minus 1, so 5.
When you manipulate another hunter, on a 10 plus, if they do what you ask, they mark experience and get plus 1 forward. On a 7 to 9, they only mark experience if they do what you ask. On a miss, it's up to that hunter to decide how badly you offend or annoy them. They mark experience if they decide not to do what you ask. So, Annie, this is up to you.
I throw that thing.
I love it.
Go ahead and mark experience.
I love it.
It's my first experience. Yeah.
You've just been rolling too good.
It shatters on the ground, sending a gout of flames bursting across this creature, which shrieks and begins to click with that wooden sound. And you now see that it is that squid beak that is in fact making those noises. At the same time, Gustav enters the mouth of the cave here and sees you, Guthrie, with your hand on the wall, the flesh spreading outward. He stumbles back, pulls that revolver, and shoots.
Do I have to roll for that?
For throwing the lantern?
Yeah.
Nah, I'm just going to let it ride.
All right, hell yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to let it ride. You get the benefits of my failure right now. This is amazing.
Uh-huh. Fuck yes. Yes.
So here's what's happening. Gustav is shooting at Guthrie. Laura is by Guthrie's feet, having just tried to prevent Annie from throwing this lantern. The lantern has just exploded on the creature, breathing it in fire. I want to know what y'all are doing here. I think maybe we should roll act under pressure from Guthrie first to see if you can get out of the way of this shot.
I don't think I can.
Okay.
I'm like connected to the wall on one hand, connected to Laura on the other, both of us being a meat magic conduit. I don't think I can. I think I get shot.
Then would anyone like to roll protect someone?
No, you're
I'm touching you though. I've got your ankle.
Caitlin just raised her hand.
Oh yeah, sorry. I'm used to I'm a streamed actual player. Sorry. I raise my hand.
Laura, go ahead and roll me protect someone. This is plus tough.
Okay. So here's a really cool thing. Oh, I actually don't know if this will work. I'm going to pitch it to you anyways.
Okay.
So I have the big whammy, which is you can use your powers to kick some ass and roll weird instead of tough. Now, this is a tough roll. It's not kick some ass, it's protect someone. However, since I'm using weird, if I were able to use weird instead, I'm still holding hands with the demon. Can I use that? Can I attempt to convince that I am, because I have this connection point and I have another ability that lets me use weird instead of tough, that I could weird my way to protect?
Here's the thing. I don't think that move would allow you to roll protect someone.
Okay.
What it would allow you to do is leap up from the floor and try to kick some ass against Gustav.
So I would have to attack Gustav.
Yes.
I couldn't.
If your protect someone goes bad, I'll just protect you. So it's
also
fine.
Also true.
So, and I can't like tackle or pull down Guthrie for a kick some ass, or is that still explicitly protect someone?
Protect him.
Well,
protect him by hurting him.
And now let me think about this for a second.
Can I like leg sweep it? Can I like leg sweep them?
I kind of, there's really something funny. So funny about you kicking some ass against Guthrie to do this here. I feel like I want to let it ride. How do we feel about that? Everyone comfortable with that?
You know, just okay. I mean, Laura
bonk in my head
is better than shotgun harm. Yeah,
actually,
bonk in my head is probably better than getting shot.
I actually really love the idea of, I have to roll to see if this happens at first, but I love the idea of like Laura picking wrong earlier of the stopping something bad from happening.
Yeah.
And so this is her right place, right time, is that she's holding on to you. And she just has her hand on your ankle, and I think just like kicks her legs out from under her and like and just tries to pull you down. So I'm gonna roll for weird on kick some ass.
Yeah, do it. Hell yeah.
I love RPGs, you guys.
We love PvP to save someone's life.
Okay, come on. Come on, Laura.
Come on, beat my ass.
Okay. 2, 4 plus 2 weird. It's an 8.
On a 7 to 9, you and whatever you're fighting inflict harm on each other. The amount of harm is based on the established dangers of the game. Usually means you inflict the harm rating of your weapon and your enemy inflicts their attack's harm rating on you. Well, listen, we're going to have to get a little silly with this. I think I know what happens here.
Oh, you do this.
Absolutely. You pull Guthrie to the ground. Guthrie, you drop face first into the flesh floor, which still does break your nose for one harm, but, you know, better than getting shot. That shot rings out, embedding itself in the wall where your head was just a moment ago. However, you have just taken an action to harm its host, Laura. And the demon inside Guthrie is going to lash out. You are going to take 4 points of harm. Ignore armor here.
Okay.
Unless someone protects you.
I'm going to protect you. It's my fucking demon.
Hey.
Oh, what's up?
That's my cousin. And I got to move.
Okay. Okay.
Great.
I have never again. In combat, you may choose to protect someone without rolling as if you had rolled a 10 plus, but you may not choose suffer little harm.
Hell yeah. All right. So how then does this, you know, I almost imagine this demon that is inside of Guthrie, whatever dark presence, you know, lingering darkness inside of Guthrie, I almost imagine it, you know, sending this pulse through Laura. How do you take that harm instead, Annie?
I don't even think it's on purpose. I think I saw all of this that was happening. I see, like, the monsters here. There's a guy with a gun. Scary things are happening. Guthrie just hit the ground. And my instinct is just to try to, like, grab you and pull you out of the way. And I just, like, I get in there at the exact wrong second.
Yeah. Sam, can I counter pitch something?
Yeah.
Instead of a pulse, what if, like, the, like, sort of staticky, shadowy figure that I described earlier kind of, like, comes out of my body a little bit, like, stretches out of my back a little bit, like a second, like, humanoid form that is, like, conjoined at the waist?
Mm-hmm. That's fun. How do you feel about intervening in that instead? Andy.
Yeah, I mean, that's even better because then I can see that and do my heroic, like, diving in the way.
Yeah, I think I want to make one small adjustment here, Guthrie, because I don't think it is. I think your expectation is it is this shadowy form, right? It is this shadow of yourself. And I actually don't think that's what it is. Mm. I think that the form that you pull out of yourself is in fact glowing. It is this like radiant white figure. This like figure almost composed of light here.
This dark cave became like the brightest place ever with the fire and the light.
Yes. Yes. And I think that is the thing that you get in the way of here, Annie. And you mm-hmm. just feel its power just siphon into you all at once.
Yeah.
So what are you going to take instead of suffer little harm?
I forgot to even look at the move. All I cared about was
the other options here are all impending danger is now focused on you. You inflict harm on the enemy or you hold the enemy back.
And in this case, the enemy is
the demon inside of Guthrie. And I do want to be clear, it is a demon. It's just.
I want to hold the enemy back.
Yeah, yeah. I think I think it reaches for Laura. You know, it pulls itself out of Guthrie, reaching for Laura, and you grab onto it and hold it back from reaching her. And so it turns on you instead. It turns that the hand that snaked out of Guthrie's form instead grabs your wrist and you feel it burning there. And you are going to take 4 points of harm, ignore armor.
Is that more interesting or is it more interesting if I burn my only luck point?
Luck point, luck point, luck point.
Luck point, luck point.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck it, man. How much longer are we playing?
I think that I'm able to. This woman is just all over the place today. Mm-hmm. I think that I am able to get the axe in the way, so it grabs that instead.
Yeah.
But I am now doomed.
Yeah, I think you put the axe in the way here, and it grabs that instead, and it just you just see the handle of the axe and the blade just melt away. Becoming it almost like I think as it grabs onto it and you try to yank the axe back away from it, it's almost like it pulls the metal down into like a spear, like almost forging a spear out of the end of this axe. And it is now this kind of like glowing white hot colorful metal. This scene is so chaotic here. I think, Guthrie, you begin to pick yourself up off of the floor. The smoke and stench of this creature burning begins to fill the room here. This very wood fire smell mixed with this strange, bitterness, acrid bitterness of the sap going up in flames. And it is lashing out now, trying desperately to no longer be a flame. And I think it runs, past you, like out of the mouth of this cave, out into the forest. Gustav turns his back, quickly gets out of the way, and then turns his back to all of you to follow it with his gun, and then turns back with sort of a dark look in his eyes, and says, You can't come back to Norfolk. I will stop you if you try to come back. And then he runs out the mouth of the cave towards this burning creature. I want to know what you all do here.
I got hole punched.
Collapse?
Yeah, I feel like I'm about to collapse too. I don't know what the fuck I even can do here.
I don't know. There's something about that is like fascinating as a threat from a newcomer.
Yeah. I think he, I think there's this moment where he's like, oh my God, this place is full of monsters.
Right now, Laura's life is full of grief that she knows and some grief that she doesn't know. And I don't think that matters to her, because this is still her life and this is still her home. And I think she wouldn't let that threat lie. And so I think she heaves herself up, punched through the middle, holding her gut where she got, stabbed, and she starts walking out the mouth of the cave after him.
Pick myself up too. What else are we supposed to do?
Guthrie, do you follow the other two?
How's the situation with my demon going? Did it recede?
I think it is slowly pulling back inside of you. You're almost dragging it along.
Yeah. So I'm probably like crawling out of the cave then.
Yeah. Laura leading this charge, I think that creature, the dryad, whatever it is, falls, its limbs begin to give way here. As it tries to prop itself up, they snap in half and it kind of falters as it, attempting to like get away from this area to douse itself or with anything it can. It's throwing up dirt into the air to try to douse its body, and it's just not enough. And you see Gustav slowly approaching, and he, pops out the cylinder of the revolver to check how many shots he has left. Then pops it back in and raises it against this creature.
I would like from behind him to hear the cocking of a shotgun.
I think this is a manipulate someone.
You don't get to decide where people belong. You don't get to decide where people don't belong. People or things that exist here. This isn't your home yet. You don't get to decide. And she rolls.
Okay. Okay, this is 6. A 3 minus 1 is an 8.
They'll do it, but only if you do something for them right now to show that you mean it. If you ask too much, they'll tell you what, if anything, it would take for them to do it. You're going to have to shoot him to stop him from advancing on this thing.
That's the answer, is that he won't.
You will have to stop him by force. I think he says over his shoulder, monsters, a lot of you. I'll show you what we do to monsters. And then raises that gun on the dryad.
I would like to jinx this man on purpose and full of malice.
Okay. Now I'm seeing you do your powers for something vindictive.
Now you are, yeah. She has never fit in. She's never been a person who feels like a normal person. And now he's called her a monster and is equating to her to this thing that she thought she could help. So the gun doesn't fire, essentially, would be my interference.
That's what success looks like. Okay.
Okay. Another 6-3. This time plus 2. 11.
That's 2 hold.
That's 2 hold.
Oh. Which means the first thing that happens is that the gun just doesn't fire. There was one bullet. It allowed for one little shot, the shot that almost took out Guthrie. And then the internal mechanisms of this thing seized in a way that is unrecoverable. And as much as he pulls the trigger, nothing spews from the end of the barrel. Annie, you are right here too. I want to know what you're doing.
I think Annie knows that she is doomed. Mm-hmm. I think she can feel it in her bones, in her being. And I think that a few minutes ago, she would have been raising her gun to take it out, but she believes that she's going to die. But it is clearly so important to Laura that this doesn't happen. So I will not. I will just stand a few paces behind and watch and hope that I have time for one more conversation. Because I've got some things I need to talk to her about.
Laura, how do you want to use that second jinx hold? I've got a suggestion if you want.
Yeah, I'll hear the suggestion. I have a vague cryptic pitch, but I'll hear your suggestion too.
I think maybe this dryad has enough wherewithal and enough power left in itself to make one last to lash out one last time.
Here's the thing. Laura also doesn't get to decide who belongs here and who doesn't. So I don't think she wants him dead either. Could I get a clarification on doomed, the doomed mechanic?
Yeah. So essentially, when you roll a 6 or below, I am allowed to take a move against you as hard as I want. That can be giving you harm. That can be putting you in a bad situation, et cetera, et cetera. When you are doomed, I can do that regardless of your role whenever I want to.
Okay. I don't know. And I don't think Laura does either. I will hold it.
And I think this moment is Guthrie's.
Okay. The dryad is about to murder Gus.
I think there is about to. Yeah. I think Gus's gun is not going off. The dryad looks up with those kind of shiny silver eyes. And you see hurt and hatred in them. You hear it cry for the ice. And it is about to do something here.
It's still on fire.
It is still on fire.
I would actually like to use my last forward, my jinx forward.
Okay.
It's about coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
It rained recently. There's a divot a few trees over that still has some collected rainwater. I want to see if I can somehow, if we can direct it, or you can we get it out? Can we get it put out so that Guthrie can talk to it?
What if there is a, you know how sometimes ponds accumulate stuff on top of them that make them hard to see?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's stuff growing up out of them and like little trees and shit that have kind of like covered the surface of them and made them difficult to tell from regular ground. What if it steps backwards and into
like
one
a marsh,
of those
marshy,
ponds?
Yeah.
Like a marsh.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like a peat bog.
Exactly. Exactly. And it steps back into that and realizing that there is water lets itself fall backward into the pond. How does that
sound? Is everybody okay with that? Mm-hmm. I want you to be able to talk to it.
Then this thing falls backward into the pond, disappearing beneath the water. And Gustav turns to all of you, clicking that revolver, trying to, you know, messing with the chamber, messing with the hammer, like looking down at it and then back up at all of you with a frightened look in his eyes. And then over to Peggy, his brother, who's sort of laying on the ground here, and he's beginning to back up himself, worried that the three of you will come for him next.
I approach him and I say, go help your brother, go back to town, go talk all the shit you want, but get out of here.
I think with that, he grabs his brother's arms. And slowly on that injured leg begins to pull him through the woods as fast as he can manage. His brother just moaning as he's dragged across, you know, sticks and branches here. And they disappear into the trees. There is a ripple on the surface of that pond. And two small silver eyes poke themselves up over the surface.
I look towards it. Are you all right?
I am destined to die here, it seems, and I will perish alone. Something brought me here. I did not choose to come.
Where were you before?
I miss the snow.
Did it like get a feel for what I was trying to do for it earlier? Or, like trying to turn its cave into the like, you know, meat bubble that it needs?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was ready to like that was all it needed. Like it was like, okay, like I'm good now.
Blanket over the birdcage.
I think the problem is it is hurt. It is worried mm-hmm. now because of how I mean it's this thing was pretty set on fire. So I think it is not sure that even if it goes in its cask now that it will survive.
Okay. Then I want to do a use magic to heal it.
Okay. Annie, I'm curious as this is happening, how are you feeling about this?
Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just let it go.
It says it's the last of its kind.
Why is that our problem? How many people would it have killed?
I don't know, but it won't kill anymore.
How do you know that? Make you promise?
It's a scared animal.
Yeah, and when scared animals bite people, they get put down. None of you, neither of you understand how dangerous these things are. You just wandered into the woods tonight and decided that you needed to play doctor for something that will kill all of us if it has any opportunity. Just let it go.
Isn't that what happened with Gustav? You played doctor and he almost killed Guthrie. Why is this any different? We gave him a shot.
It's a person.
It has thoughts and feelings. Why is that different?
It says it misses the snow.
I miss a lot of things.
Then you can relate.
Laura, look me in the eye. I am not your cousin.
She gets that unsettled look on her face again as she kind of like almost doesn't hear you.
I am your sister-in-law.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't know.
What is Laura's last name?
Ellison.
That name flickers at the edges of your thoughts again, Laura.
Olive Ellison.
And there it is.
Your sister.
My sister.
The memories flood back into your mind.
How long has Olive been missing or gone or dead?
A few months. Six months, maybe.
Would Laura have known, like, had no knew what happened, or just like was just
one day Olive didn't exist anymore?
Okay. So, but I'm saying now at this memory, did she ever know what happened?
Oh, no, she disappeared one day.
Okay, cool.
I know what a man with a gun can do. We don't know what that thing can do. There are things there that can not only kill you, but kill your memory. Kill every part of you. And that's one thing. We don't know what it can do. It could do anything. It is dangerous.
It's not our choice.
Fuck, it isn't!
It's not our choice. It's alive. It feels things. It wants things.
My wife was alive. And then something killed. I don't even know what it is. I know I'd know it if I'd see it, but I can't remember what killed her.
Ask it if it killed my sister. She turns to Guthrie.
Have you killed things like us before? For your cask.
I haven't been here long enough to do so.
It wasn't the creature.
So then you can't punish it for something it didn't do. You can't take out your grief and your anger on other people, on other things.
But I can make it so nobody else has to die by monsters.
I think we need some decisions here. Yeah. I think we need some actions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think this is the moment. I think we've reached the peak of the conversation here. Guthrie, it sounds like you were trying to heal this thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like maybe Annie is going to try to do something else. And it sounds like Laura might help or interfere with one of you.
Mm-hmm. I think what Guthrie wants is to heal the creature and help it finish its home so that it can survive the winter. And then when it, in exchange for it not killing anyone, he will help it get back to its home when it emerges.
See, I just want to shoot it.
I know.
I really want to shoot it.
Would that be manipulate someone?
It is.
Okay.
I love this. This got so convoluted. It's beautiful.
Oh, this is great. This is great.
I love to be a non-hunter in your Monster Hunter story. Sorry.
That's a 9. It's a 5 and a 2 plus 2.
Nice.
I think it asks you to make a promise. I think it says,
I will slumber. But if I need it, you will join my cask.
Yeah. Sure. I can do that for you.
Okay. Annie and Laura, this thing, you know, begins to like emerge from the water. It seems much more like docile next to all of you. I hate to describe it as docile. This thing, I want to be clear that this thing has like a personhood. Like it is not just you know, it's not a cow. This thing is like a...
Though all of that conversation was in fucked up forest speech.
Yeah.
Clacking of Dutch clogs and tree whisper sounds.
So this thing begins to emerge from the pond here. Annie, I want to know what you do.
Laura, do you stop me from killing it?
I have to.
Tell me how. I start to raise the gun.
You start to raise the gun. She raises it with you and holds it to her own chest. I get it now. I promise I do. And I'm probably going to cry about it a little bit later. If it doesn't die, it will kill you. And then I have to cry for you and without you. Please help me remember. Please don't kill something just because you can.
Hands shaking, just drops it. Collapses into sobbing.
I didn't know. I didn't know. I forgot. I didn't know to remember. And she'll just hold you.
And over the three of you, this thing emerges from the pond, its legs propping itself up. You can see its full form now as dawn begins to break through the trees. It has these huge, long limbs, these tree limbs emanating from it, from its sides and its back. And it holds its sort of central body up above all of you and clacks that little Dutch clog beak at you and clambers over all of you. And then down into the cave that it was building for itself and begins to continue its excavation. And unfortunately, Annie, you are doomed.
Yeah, I am.
Guthrie, you have not been a very good host to your guest. But in holding it back, Annie, you have revealed that you just might be.
Oh, fuck.
So, Guthrie, you feel something slip out of you, out of your whole form. And it takes two steps and dissolves into Annie. You have a moment. What do you say?
She loved you so much.
And then your eyes turn a dark color. The whites first, then the color, then the pupil black themselves out. And you stand up from where you were holding Laura on the ground, your wounds already beginning to heal. In your head, you are sitting in a dark room, down a set of long stairs. Across the table is a shadowed figure with all manner of metal work emanating from its back You can only barely see it. And it holds its hand out to the goblet of ichor in front of you and says, "Drink deep."
Can you help me protect them?
That and more.
I drink.
I want to zoom out now. I want to know what happens in the next few days.
Does Gustav start shit in town?
I think he's too busy taking care of his brother.
Good. So that's what he should be focusing his energy on.
I think he gets a job in the mines. And you see him one night pointing in your direction while at the table with your dad and whispering something to him.
It's fine. You know, I got my faction. I don't have power anymore, but I'm still going to investigate. I'm still going to write. I'm still going to publish the truth as I experience it. I probably write up something about this creature. People think it's a stupid monster story. They don't believe any of it, except for, you know, the few people that do. I think life mostly continues as it was. I don't have magic anymore, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah.
I don't even think it's that. I think there is still some vestige of something left in you, Guthrie. I don't think you could have been host to this thing for as long as you were with no residual effects. I think you still have something here, though maybe it's not as tied to this thing as you maybe thought it was originally.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I continue with my investigations. I'm not deterred. And now that I've seen what Laura can do, I probably rely on her hunches even more. And I think, you know, we become sort of not monster hunters, but like, you know, we're at least like looking into things and making sure that everything's safe and people don't get hurt.
Yeah.
Defenders of a sort still.
Mm-hmm.
Laura, how about you?
Laura is having to go through the stages of grief again. This week is weird. I think that she is not fully prepared to have to do that. And so she is trying to stay busy. She visits Gustav and Peggy's where they're staying. And she brings them medical supplies and dinner on their first night home. Don't care if they see her. Don't care if they do. She's trying to prove a point. She does not want him dead, just like he's not allowed to kill our neighbor. She does go back out to the cave that the creature is in. She doesn't go in or talk to it, but she sits outside for a while and maybe reads. She's trying to make sense of everything that just happened and everything that she's learned. And I think she's trying to figure out what's worth it and what meant anything and if she was right for her convictions. And I guess depending on what Annie does, she would probably attempt to get memories back.
Annie, what do we see from you in the next few days?
I don't know. Sam, what do we see?
I think we see you carrying on as normal.
Yeah.
You just don't recognize the people that come in anymore.
Okay.
You recognize Laura and Guthrie. You saw them in the woods. You don't recognize the others. You have to rebuild those relationships, and you'll need them. You'll need somewhere to start. To start looking for other hosts. How much of Annie do you think is left as the months roll on?
I think the parts that are left are the parts that Annie allowed grief to turn monstrous. Her anger, her fear, the
responsibility she feels for the death of Ollie. That's still there. But the part that could was so fiercely protective, the part that could make the saddest drunk smile, the parts that don't feel the need to reach for a weapon are slowly consumed.
Is our friendship over?
How hard do you try?
I try. I mean, I continue to be a patron. I continue to try to help out. I don't know if there's anything I can do to like change your mind about like the decisions that I made that day.
I do think Guthrie's awfully familiar to you.
Yeah.
I think you understand him in a real way.
I think I keep that connection for that reason.
And maybe we do kind of bond over the fact that like we know that it's only the like passion, the zeal towards something or another that is like the strength that keeps the demon from fully just taking over.
Yeah. You kind of trying to keep those good parts of her as long as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And just to be like absolutely crystal clear here, just because you guys have your nice little thing going over there, Annie is still killing monsters. A lot of them, probably. And every once in a while, not a lot, there will be a body that looks very human. Annie will swear to you that it's not, but I think it's up to you if you believe her.
I'd like to end with you, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting at a table in the Stinky Walrus when you are bowled over with a vision. Norfolk, a smoking crater. The Stinky Walrus perched on the edge. The mine below laid bare to the air. A cataclysm for this town. I want to know whether the three of you live through this explosion, with the note that most of the town, almost all of the town, is destroyed. The things left standing are largely the Stinky Walrus, and that's it.
I mean, her power has always been instinctive, emotion and want driven before she could control it at all. And Jinx is about coincidence. So if she has this vision, the first thing that would be forefront of her mind would be fear. And I've said it now before, but she's a helper at heart. She would want to protect the people that she loves. And I think in that moment, I think Guthrie walks through the door with his trunk. And maybe Annie comes from around back where she'd been getting groceries or something and has just returned to the bar. And then Calamity.
Can I yes, add a yeah. pitch? I saw a door that wasn't there before. And I went through it
yes.
and I ended up in the Stinky Walrus.
You open the front door. Yeah. You walk in.
I mean, what if I walk in and the bar's never been more crowded?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
It's her love.
And I think that's where we can leave it.
Mm-hmm. We don't see the gruesome thing that happens right after.
We don't play that minute by minute. Yeah, we don't.
It's love. It's always been love.
Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of Pest Control. Thank you to my cast today for being willing to go way super long on this one. I really appreciate it.
That was wild.
I am so hungry. I'm going to have to go eat two meals in a row. I really appreciate you guys sticking it out to the end. That was super, super fun. And leads pretty nicely into the next mainline episode that we have coming out. Ooh. So look forward to that. I have been Sam Richardson, your keeper. You can find me on Twitter at Laggardson, L-A-G-G-A-R-D-S-O-N. You can also now find me on Start Playing, where I'm running a couple of campaigns. Those are now actually, I think as of today, all three of them are full. So
cool.
Maybe keep an eye out if you want to play with me in the future, for more coming on at some point. If these are your first couple episodes of Pest Control, I would highly advise going back and listening to the rest of the show. I think it's great. I like it a lot. I'm very proud to have done it. You could start with either the first episode of season one or the first episode of season two. I think either are great places to hop on board. Let's do outros from everybody else. Let's do them in reverse order. So, Bird, do you wanna lead?
Yeah. So I've been Birdie. She or they pronouns. It's been wonderful to be on the show. I'm also gonna say, go back and listen to Pest Control. And I'm not going to say you could start from either place. Go start from season one. It rules.
Yeah, season one's pretty good.
It's so good. You can find my cosplay again at Elephant Bird Cosplay. And if you liked what I did here, I would so appreciate if you gave my show's Twitter and Tumblr at Story Players Pod follow so that you can check it out when it comes out. Thank you so much.
I've been Devin. You can find me at Devin Decibel on all platforms. There you can check out all the stuff I make. I make music. I'm in a band called Gloomy June, and I have a show called Oathsworn. Also, I publish TTRPGs, so check out my shit at devindecibel.itch.io.
Hell yeah.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Bruder. You can find me on Twitter at KKAMABR or Bruder Caitlin, BRUDERKAITLIN, pretty much everywhere else. I want you to listen to Thin Places Radio. That's my ask. Everybody should listen to Thin Places Radio. I love it so very, very much. It is my whole heart and soul. You can find us on pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. And our social media is just at Thin Places Radio. It's basically if Dear Abby were a haunted radio show, every episode is less than 10 minutes. And it's very fun and delightful and full of heart and a little bit weird. So just like this.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. I'm so happy to have been here. So thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, y'all. We'll see you next time.
Bye.